Thank you so much for coming back this afternoon. Appreciate so much you being here. Tonight I want to talk about the problem of anxiety and worry. I think maybe I can safely say that we all struggle with that at times. I know that I do. You know, we worry about many things. If we don't have a job, we worry about that. If we have a job, we worry about losing it. If we do not have any money, we worry about that. But if we have money, we worry about where it all goes. We worry about being sick. And if we are well, we worry about getting sick. We worry about many things in our lives. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that. Now, we understand that life cannot be free from all sense of concern. And we're going to make a distinction between proper concern and care and what we are talking here about, anxiety and worry. And there is a difference. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord." But notice he says there, "Be anxious for nothing." Also in Matthew 6 and verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about your necessities of life." And the word anxious in Philippians 4 and the word worry in Matthew 6 verse 25 come from the same Greek word. And Vine says it means to be anxious about, to have a distracting care. But this same word is used in a good sense in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, Paul says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That's the same word that's found in Philippians 4 and Matthew 6. But here it's talking about a legitimate care, a legitimate concern. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily," Paul says, "my deep concern for all the churches." Now that's the noun form of the verb that's found in these other places. But he's talking about a proper anxiety, a proper concern and care for his brethren. And so Vine also defines the word as to have a care for, to care for. And so there is a proper concern that we need to have for things. We understand that. You know, and concern, a proper concern, can help us to do some good things. It will help us to keep from having an automobile accident. Because we're concerned about that accident, we're going to practice good driving and be safe in our driving. Concern over becoming ill will cause us to practice rules of good health. We'll do those things that will help us to be healthy since we are concerned about that. Nothing wrong about those proper concerns. The problem is when our concerns become anxieties and when our forethoughts become fear thoughts and when it becomes a distracting care and we get despondent, get down, depression. Those are the kinds of things when the Lord tells us do not do that. The care then begins to predominate one's thinking. Anxiety then sets in. That's when it becomes sinful. And the Lord says, do not do that. What I want to do is talk about what are the causes, and I want to talk about what are the solutions to this problem of anxiety and worry. Well, first of all, I want to talk about one cause. What is the cause? And I think probably all of our worry and anxiety can be traced back to this, and that is, it's caused by making earthly things of greater importance than heavenly things. If we can solve that problem, we can solve the problem of worry and anxiety. Because the reason that we are anxious about things is we're more concerned about the here and now, more concerned about material things, about things that affect our lives here in the sense of the material things that we have and enjoy. And because of our concern, an over-concern about those things, when things don't go like we want them to, and we don't have what we want, and circumstances are not exactly as we would like for them to be, then anxiety sets in because that's where our focus is. Let's look at three passages of Scripture. The first one is Luke 10, 38 through 41. Now, you remember this is when Jesus is welcomed into Martha's home. We have talked about this in our Wednesday night class recently, as we've talked about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Well, this is Mary and Martha. And it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, consider the situation here. Jesus is in Martha's home, and she's serving. We don't know if she's preparing a meal or maybe cleaning up after a meal. We would think probably one or the other. And so she's serving. But Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus' words. And things are not going well for Martha. It may be what was her serving. It was not going as she wanted it to. Maybe all it was is that her sister was not helping her. We can identify with that when we don't feel like others are pulling the load. And they ought to be pulling more of the load. You know, that can get us frustrated and anxious. But that was the problem with Martha. And so she expresses her concern to Jesus by saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now notice what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Martha, Martha, you are worried. That's our word. That's the same word in Philippians 4, Matthew 6. You're anxious. You're worried and troubled about many things. What got her into that state? Notice it says that Martha was, in verse 40, was distracted with much serving. What was she distracted from? Doing what Mary was doing, sitting at Jesus' feet listening to His words. She had made serving so important that when it didn't go well, things didn't go like she wanted them to go, that it caused worry, caused anxiety, caused some frustration within her. And I'll suggest to you that that's the reason that we have worry and frustrations, because the circumstances in our lives become so important to us that that we get distracted from our Lord, from what's most important, and where we can find some peace, and we then end up becoming anxious. Look with me also in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 says, Paul says to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Now he tells those who are rich to not be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. And that's what riches are. They're uncertain. And that's the reason that adjective is connected with riches, is because that's the nature of riches. You can have them today and tomorrow they're gone. And you think about that. If you put your trust in those things that are uncertain, you think you're going to have some worry? Think there's going to be some anxiety there? Because you're not sure whether it's going to be here tomorrow. What's the stock market going to do? What are all these things going to... Well, you know... And when it even becomes more threatened, and there's the news that comes that says that I may lose this, all of it, then when that is where our trust is, our fulfillment in life, and everything that we look for to provide fulfillment and happiness and joy in this life is the things that I have, and it's in something that's uncertain, then surely there's going to be times of anxiety and frustration. There's going to be times for worry. And so the problem here is we've put our trust in the wrong thing. There's the cause. Look with me also in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 25. Now I want you to look down at the bottom, verse 25, and notice he says there, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry." That's the passage we looked at earlier. There's our word. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on." In other words, don't worry about these things. But he says, "Therefore, do not worry." That indicates that there's a connection between what he's about to say, which is don't worry, with what he has said prior to that. Based on what he said prior to this, don't worry. "Therefore, don't worry." Let's go back and see what he says prior to this. Let's go back to verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now notice the contrast there between laying up for yourselves treasures on the earth and laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, on earth rather. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Well, the treasures on earth are uncertain. That's the point he's making. You know, moth and rust will destroy. Thieves break in and steal. Then you can have them today and tomorrow they're gone. They're not something you can depend on. So you're going to worry about those things. But you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and moth and rust do not destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. Those are secure. That will never be taken away from you. And notice he says there in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where's the anxiety come from? It's in the heart, isn't it? That's where the worry is. It's in the heart. And so when we lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth, and our heart is then on those treasures, this is what's most important to us. We don't want to lose them. There's the possibility we might lose them. And what's going to happen in the heart? There's going to be not peace, especially when the threat comes. There's going to be worry. He goes on to say in verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Now that word "good," the Greek term there is translated in different ways. One translation is, if your eye is healthy, then, of course, you're going to bring light in. It's interesting that the Greek term means single. Matter of fact, the American Standard Version translates it that way. "Therefore, if your eye is single, your whole body will then be full of light." You take your eye and you focus it in the right place. You get it focused on a single object. There's the light that comes in, that light, and it gives light to the body. I think the point here is this, is if your eye is focused properly in the right place, toward the light, toward God, toward things spiritual, things eternal, and you get your eye focused singly on that, your body will be full of light. And so the key here is, of course, to make God, make Jesus, make spiritual things, heavenly things, eternal things, the primary focus in our life. He says in then verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or riches. Mammon is riches. And he says you can't serve both. And so some try to do that. You know, we try to make God our priority, but then we also have riches as a priority in our life as well. You can't do it. If we do that, then we're going to either serve one or the other. Riches then may then be, is really that which is our Lord, our priority in life, and we're going to have anxiety. We can't do both. So you make God, you singly focus in on God. You lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Therefore, don't worry. There's no need to worry. If you'll do that, there's no need to worry about what your life, what you eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what it will put on. It's not life more than food and body more than clothing. God is in control, and I put my trust in Him. The point is that the cause of anxiety is making earthly things of greater importance than heavenly things. And if we could get that, now that's not to say that we don't work, that we don't labor for the material things of life. That's not to say that these are not things that we don't care about. There's a proper care and proper concern about providing for ourselves, doing what we need to do, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But even if I lose it, no big deal. It's just material things. The Lord's going to make sure I have what I need. And so the reason I can deal with the changes in life, the ups and downs, the losses and gains in life, because that's not what's important to me. What's important to me is being in fellowship with God, having the hope of living with Him for all eternity. And that will not be taken away from me. That is secure. And I can always have that. Well, Dad, I've already talked a little bit about the solutions, but let's talk about the solutions. Put God first. I don't have these up on the screen, so I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles as we look at these passages. But again, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says there in verse 25, "Do not worry about your life." He then goes on to say in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And so what the Lord is saying is, if you'll seek God first, make that your primary focus in your life, His God, His kingdom, His righteousness first, then you won't have to worry about food, clothing, and drink. You won't have to worry about the necessities of life. And you know, I don't think a lot of us worry about the necessities. I think most of us know that we'll have access to food, clothing, and shelter. What a lot of us, and I'm not saying you, but I'm saying a lot of people struggle with is maintaining my present economic state. In other words, it's having to lower myself to live on less, and not have maybe as much of the things that I've enjoyed throughout my life. If I'm going to lose that, then that's what brings the struggle and the anxiety. Now, what that tells me, if I become anxious, I'm not saying there may be a proper concern, but I'm saying if I become anxious about that, what that would tell me is I'm laying up for myself treasures here. Those treasures have become too important to me. And I have become anxious and I'm worrying because I'm losing the pleasurable things of life. What I need to, again, think about, where is my trust? Where is it that I focus as that which will bring me true fulfillment in life? Is it God or is it material things? And when I realize God is the one that's going to provide true fulfillment and the material things, I can take it or leave it. Then when I do lose, then those things are not as much of a concern and it will not bring anxiety to me. I can just downsize. Just sell this, go get something less. I can do that. because that's not what's important to me. That's the important thing here. And that means we put God first, seek His kingdom, His righteousness first. Remember in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is asked the question, in Luke chapter 12, go back to verse 13, I'm beginning with verse 15, but I want to look at the context here. It says, "Then one from a crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" So here's this one that wants Jesus to go to his brother who's not being very cooperative in giving him part of the inheritance. And tell his brother, "You divide the inheritance with me. You have the responsibility to divide that inheritance with me." Jesus said in verse 14, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And that was not his position to arbitrate that matter. And really, that's not a concern that Jesus had, is whether he got that inheritance or not. I don't think Jesus was that much concerned about that. What he was concerned about was what was being revealed from the heart of this man. And what he saw in the heart of this man is covetousness. He saw that he had too much of a desire for those material things. And so that's what he took the opportunity to do, is to teach him a lesson on covetousness. He said in verse 15, he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Whatever problem this man had with an uncooperative brother was one thing, but one thing that was more important is that this man had a problem with covetousness, a desire for material things, making that a priority. He was more concerned about that than he was his brother. Really, the attitude that he should have had was, you know, maybe my brother's not doing the right thing, but if that's what he wants, I'm going to let it go. Not that big a deal. Jesus goes on to tell the story of the rich fool, beginning in verse 16. "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, what's this man whose ground brought forth plentifully? He stored in his barns all of his goods, and he says to his soul, "I have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." In other words, he's going to live it up. This is going to make it good for him. Verse 20, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Again, the lesson is that here's a man who left God out of his life, left God out of the decisions that he was making. In the decision, it was more about what should I do for me. He's surrounded by himself and what he can do to enjoy life now here upon this earth. But he forgot about God. And he forgot about that one day he's going to have to face God. One day he's going to die and leave all of this behind. Matter of fact, it was that day. You know, when I think about death, I think about maybe dying, and maybe all the things that I have stored up that I want to enjoy in this life. And I say, well, no, I don't want to die yet, because I've got all of these things to enjoy. Nothing wrong to enjoy things. But when I have a certain anxiety about death, because I'm not going to be able to enjoy these things, I may need to rethink where my priorities are. Because in dying, I go to be with the Lord. Now, Paul's struggle was not about enjoying this life, but the benefit he could have to his brethren there in Philippians chapter 1. He was in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, but also there were his brethren that he wanted to be of benefit to help them in their growth. That's the Lord's work. His priority was in the right place, and that's the reason that it brought the anxiety. But if the anxiety becomes because I am not going to be able to enjoy all these things that I've stored up, I need to rethink where my focus is and where I've laid up for myself treasures in this life. Put God first. You make God your priority. And then also, look for and look at the brighter side. You know, a lot of times we get anxious because we look on the negative things of life. We don't view our circumstances as we ought. We look on that little black dot on the sheet of paper and neglect all the white that is around it. You've heard the illustration before. We just focus in on the negatives. And that can happen to us. There was a woman who was planning to clean out her closet that day. And she had put it off for so long, and she'd been wanting to get to this closet. It was just all dirty and cluttered, and it just needed to be cleaned out. And at the end of the day, she had not cleaned out her closet. And she expressed her frustration to the Lord and how to her husband. She expressed her frustration to her husband when he came home that evening and said, "You know, I just did not get all of that done." And he said, "Well, honey, what did you do?" Well, she got up and got her husband a breakfast and her children breakfast and sent them off to school, and she washed three loads of clothes, and she had washed the dishes, and she had cleaned in the house in various places that needed to be cleaned. When the children came home, she brought them home. And when the children came home, she dealt with them. She mended their skint knees and tried to shape their hearts by teaching them. And she got to the end of the day, and she realized she hadn't cleaned out that closet. And her husband said, "Look at all you did do." The problem with us sometimes is we maybe place so much on certain things that need to be done, and we forget about all of these other important things that we are doing. And that can cause frustration. And what we need to do is look on the brighter side. Look at what we are doing. You know, some of those things can go. That closet doesn't have to be cleaned out. Maybe not as important as the other things that we are doing. I think about in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41 when the apostles had been put in prison. I think, and I can't remember if in this case they had been beaten, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing, it says, that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Acts 5. Now, if you're beaten, imprisoned, that's a pretty negative thing and caused maybe a lot of worry and frustration. But they looked on the bright side by saying, "We were doing this for the Lord." They were counted worthy to suffer dishonor, suffer shame for the Lord. Look on the bright side. Look at Philippians 1. Paul, you remember, was in prison, had been in prison for, we know, at least 2 years, over 2 years. He's now in Rome, having shipwrecked. You remember he was on the way to Rome, encountered shipwreck. But he says to the Philippians, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, all of these problems, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." What's Paul doing? He's saying, look at the good that's come out of this. All of these bad things, look at the good that has come out of it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, Jesus in the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Why? "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they are reviled and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." Why? "For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, when these bad things happen, look at the good of them. The good is I'm in good company. I'm in the same company of those prophets of old who are being persecuted. And great is my reward in heaven. Look on the bright side. So look on the bright side. Look for the good that comes out of your circumstances. And then also, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, we can rejoice in the Lord. When he says rejoice in the Lord always, he means rejoice in the Lord always. And there's always reason for us to rejoice in the Lord. Because we're saved by the blood of Christ. We have the hope of eternal life. Doesn't matter what may take place here. We're in the family of God. He is going to be with us. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. Whatever trials and tests that we may encounter, we'll be able to deal with it with God's help. And so I can rejoice in that. And so always rejoice in the Lord. Think about those things when you go through difficulties and you're tempted to get down and discouraged. Think about, you know, I have the Lord. The Lord's forgiven me. The Lord loves me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Think about that and rejoice in that. Do what you can about your problem. You know, worry is futile. Matthew 6, verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, some translation says can add, a year to your life or some time to your life. Whichever it is, worry is not going to do that. It's not going to make you bigger. It's not going to give you more life, more time in life. Matter of fact, it may take away. Worrying hampers your health. And it may take away some of your years. The point is, worrying is not going to do us any good. People worry about things that have already happened. And that's futile. It's a waste of time. You know, someone has said, one should never try to saw sawdust. It's useless. Worrying about the past is like trying to put the toothpaste back into the toothpaste tube. Past deeds cannot be undone and past words cannot be unsaid. When I have done wrong, I can repent of those sins and God forgives me, but put it in the past. Worrying about that is not going to do any good. And then some people worry over things that will inevitably happen. And that's futile. Some people worry about dying. They will die. We're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Some people worry about growing old, but growing old they must, so why worry about it? Worrying is futile. Some people worry about things that will never happen, and that's futile. Mark Twain said, I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which never happened. And isn't that true? We worry about a lot of things and things that might happen and we get so anxious about them and they never happen. Worry is a waste of time. And some people manufacture problems. Ulcers are things people get from mountain climbing over molehills. Worry has been defined as an old man with bended head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead. That is so true. Worrying is futile. It doesn't do any good. God expects us to do what we can and then don't worry about it. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we do that. We work out our own salvation. We put our trust in God. We repent when we commit sin. We strive to do better, continue to strive to follow Him. The blood of Jesus is cleansing us from our sins. We're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. When we do that, God will be there working with us. And I believe that. I trust Him. And so, I can move forward. I'm doing what I can do and let God take care of the rest. Trust God. I like the statement in Isaiah 26. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Notice that. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. He will keep us in perfect peace. Who? Those who will put their trust in him. Going back to Matthew chapter 6, we read that earlier where Jesus said, do not worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you put on. About the birds. The birds, they do not sow, they do not reap, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than that? Do you trust Him feeding? He'll feed the birds, He'll feed you. And what about the lilies of the field? They do not toil nor spin. They do not clothe themselves, make clothes for themselves. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God clothes the field, the lilies of the field, which today are and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith? Trust Him. He will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to worry about those things. Philippians, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. Do we believe that? Yes, I believe He cares. And He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13, verse 5, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with us through all the trials and difficulties of life, no matter what men may do. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, these are things that we can do to help overcome worry and anxiety. Put God first. Look for and look at the brighter side. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do what you can about your problem. Give the rest to God. Trust Him. And all of that, we're putting God first. We're putting spiritual things first, eternal things. We're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And that's how we deal with getting down in anxiety and frustration and depression and despondency. Now, I'm not talking about people who have a chemical imbalance that needs to be dealt with, maybe with medication, and I understand all of that. But even with that, as you struggle with depression, these feelings of depression, these are things that will help you through this. And realize this is just a feeling. This is something I'm having to deal with, but God is going to be with me through this. And as we do make Him our priority, then we can even handle those situations and get through them and have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, which guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, I hope some things we've said have been helpful to you as you live your life. And these are things that I have to keep in mind. And I'm not always successful. I'm not always thinking properly. But I have to bring myself back to what the Lord says and what He wants me to do. And when I do that, it helps me get through the difficulties and to have a peace, to have a joy in the Lord. If there are any here this evening who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, whether one who's never become a Christian, we want you to come, render obedience to the Lord, to His gospel, that you might be saved, then do that tonight. If you've fallen away, you've become a Christian, but you've gone back into sin, we encourage you to repent. Come back. Do what the Lord tells you to do to be saved. And when you do that, the Lord will forgive you because He promises to forgive. And He always fulfills His promises. So if you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.